Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Wow. You guys may be seated. Thank you so much, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. I want to first always give honor where honor is due. I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody else want to give the Lord a hand clap? And then we just work our way down. Dr. Morocco, Pastor Colleen, if it wasn't for them, I would not be here today, and either would most of us. So we all owe them a lot of honor. And Pastor Josh, Pastor Shannon, Pastor Daniel, and Pastor Karen, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'm going to bring the team up in just a moment. I want to encourage each and every one of you with what God did in the last 4 days up here in Alaska. But I first want to honor my family. I have a picture. Do you have a picture you could pull up of my family? Okay. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And I have another one that I'm going to show in a second. But, okay, that's the young man over on that side. That's me. Young, yeah. And then there's my daughter, Caitlin. She's 24. She breeds huskies in Hawaii. Who would have ever thought? That's her job. And then we have my wife, Carrie, right here in the black. My youngest daughter, Sunny. She's 18 years old. She works at the hotel down in Wailea. That's her boyfriend, Nye. Then that's my daughter, Mackenzie, on that side. She's 21, just finished her third year at GCU. She's going back for one more. Then she's going to law school. Hello, my kid. I'm like, where were you 12 years ago, 15 years ago, when I needed a lawyer? You know. And then there's Grandma Linda. Grandma Linda is my wife's mom. She's 95 years old. Hallelujah. And then I think I had one other picture. Then here we have my grandson, Jace. He's 5 years old. This is about a year ago, but that's my grandson. There's my son, Jordan. He's 32. And there's my mother, Marlene Rice. And there's my girls once again. But without them, I'm nothing. There's nothing like family, and here I am on family night, but, you know, stay close to your family, honor your family. Families are challenging, hello. It can be hard, but ultimately God chose your family. You can choose your friends. God chose your family, so deal with it. Do the best you can with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Can the King's Prison Ministry team come forward real quick? You guys come line up front and center. I want to just take a moment to honor you guys. Come on, give these guys a round of applause. Okay. Like Pastor said, front and center, front and center, front and center. All right. So I just, you know, these guys were so amazing this last week. We came up from Maui, and each one of these men, unbelievable, the anointing that God has placed upon their lives. So I'm asked all of them just to share about a minute or so what this team and this experience meant to you over this last 4 days.
Well, praise the Lord. For me, it was definitely a humbling experience. To be able to not only fellowship with the young gentlemen that were in there, but and also to just God showing me, based off of my past and able to share my testimonies, God showing me showing me what could have been and what is, and how He takes you from nothing into something. You know, there's a saying that I thought about. There's this old saying back there that said, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody." You know. And I thought about that while I was in there, like, man, God, you chose a vessel like me to go in and bring the music. So I did the worship there. Yes. And just able to sing and praise with those guys. And those guys were hungry. I'm telling you, they were so hungry and so ready and so thirsty. And just, it was amazing. It was an amazing opportunity. Amen.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen. It's an honor to be here, and thank you for all your prayers for us, for this prison ministry. For me, this week was just the testimonies, and just thank God for His using us as His voice and His hand extended to go into the prison and touch the men's lives in there to give them hope through our past experiences. You know, we came from, I came from a place where I was broken, drug addict and everything, lost everything, homeless, everything, you name it. But I went in there, I got encouraged because we get refreshed. A prosperous man, a generous man get prosperous, we get refreshed as we refresh others. So just through the testimonies and the power of the Holy Spirit in there was working, and men were getting touched, souls being saved and transformed, lives being transformed, and it was a great experience for me and humbling. And just to be here, this is the first time in Alaska, never experienced snow. And when I reached here, the first day I got here, the first morning I woke up, and you know, when I was a kid, I told the Lord, hey, Lord, I want snow. I want to feel the real snow. So when I stepped outside of George Ostermeyer's Miller's place, I went outside. It was raining and snowing. So I put up my hands and I said, Lord, thank you. But it's a great place, and I'm so honored and humbled to be here. And when I was on this side of the highway, I looked up on a hill and I said, wow, Lord, a city that cannot be hidden. Oh, my gosh. That was just, I was like, God, you're so good. So good. Amen? Amen.
Hey, God is good, guys. God is good. And this weekend was a very powerful experience. All these powerful men over here with all these powerful testimonies, including mine. Now, we touched a lot of people there, like the inmates. We touched them, and they also touched us. Yes. Yes. So as I was preparing my testimony on Friday, I prayed out to God to give me all the right, you know, like the information to like share my testimony and what to share. And I told God, I cried out to God, if I can at least touch one guy this weekend with my testimony, then I can make a difference. And that I did. So I had to share on Friday, powerful testimony. And then on Saturday, as I shook all their hands, this one young boy came up to me, hugged me, and gave me this note right there. And it said, you spoke of a guardian angel. I believe this to be true. And his verse that he wrote over there was Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. And it also talked about like the wandering sheep. And that guy was the one sheep that wandered off out of like the 99. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, Wasilla. I can't eat no more. Don't feed me no more. Every day I've cried. Every day since I've been there, I've cried. God's presence since I got on the plane and came here has taught me how thankful I've been for the last 14 years I've been in King's Cathedral. If it wasn't for Dr. Morocco, Pastor Breck, and Pastor Rice, and the men that paved the way before me to give me this platform to even stand here tonight, I have a destiny. I have a purpose that's beyond my wildest dreams. My wife celebrated 8 years ago. Or in February, in February of this year, it's been 8 years she's been cancer-free from leukemia. We waited 10 years just to see if she was going to make it for I could build her a new home. That's what I've done for 45 years. I've been a builder and a banker and a realtor. We were almost done building that brand new home for my wife. And now I get to go on the prison team with Pastor Rice. I get to serve on staff with Pastor Ann. For many of you might recognize me, I'm the facilities manager at Haggai, where many of you come to stay during the conferences. And May 10th, I celebrate 23 years clean and sober.
So this past 4 days was so amazing. It was unbelievable to see how grateful these men were to see, you know, our team to come in to encourage them. And they were so eager to give back as well. I mean, there was this one young man that did a Christian rap. There was a native guy played music for us. You know, they were trying to give back something. And, you know, I cannot believe. I thought we were supposed to go and impact them, but how impacted I was. You know, I was so impacted, unbelievable. You know, especially to be with all these anointed men. And it sparked a desire in me to want to have that anointing, you know. And I just praise God because it reminded me where I came from and where I am today. So, all glory to God.
I just praise and thank the Lord for Daniel Rice and being around him for the last 10 years and seeing where God has brought him, you know, from not being a pastor to a minister to a pastor and just being a part of this team here and just the humbleness of all the men and how they shared and God's anointing just moving. And it was a very humbling experience, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of this team.
You know, there's nothing better than taking the light of the gospel into a dark place. And it was a dark place that we went into these last 4 days, but it didn't feel dark. When you see the lights come on in somebody and they understand that God has a plan and a purpose for them. There's nothing better. And you know, I totally get where you guys are coming from. You go in there thinking you're gonna bring light to them, and we did, and it was through amazing testimonies and preaching, praying, prophesying, but it impacts you, and that's just the way the kingdom of God works. You go in working for Him, and you come out blessed. And I feel more blessed than they did, and they were grateful. I mean, when we left that place, they didn't want to see us leave. They wanted to know when we were gonna come back, and I have to say, God worked it out. We've been doing services over on the minimum side. Palmer Prison's kind of split into two sides, a minimum security and a medium security. And we've been doing services, me, Brad, and a couple other guys, for about 6 months on the minimum side. And we did these revival services on the medium side. And God just kind of worked it out where we were transitioning into doing services over on the medium side, and our first one is next Thursday. And it comes in right after these four services, and I want to thank you guys so much for really just making our job so much easier and paving the way. They're excited to have us. And, you know, thank you, Pastor Rice, for even planting that seed when we came to Maui about getting involved in prison ministry and then just encouraging me to do it. It's been a blessing. And thank you, Pastor Daniel and Karen, for allowing me and us to represent Kings in there. It's been an honor, and it's been a lot of fun. It just has. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do, and I'm believing for great things to happen there. Great outpouring.
Hallelujah. Come on, extend your hands to this team. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a fresh anointing to fall upon them. That, Lord God, what you've begun, Lord God, you'd complete. That, Lord God, your fire from heaven would be poured out upon their lives. Because, Lord God, you said, to the least of these that came and visited me, you've done unto me. And so I pray, Lord God, as they fulfill Matthew 25, that it would continue to burn in them. There would be an impartation from heaven. That, Lord God, they would never be the same. And they would continue to fulfill their purpose here on earth, here in Alaska, for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we all said, amen. Amen. All right. Bless you guys. Love you guys. And Kihei, I can just step up and down, but I might get hurt over here. It's a little bit higher than what we got. But wow, what a beautiful facility. Congratulations. I'm so encouraged by you guys and what God's done. And you know, God gave me a word. I got a message, but God gave me a word 16 months ago for you guys. And I was holding out. 16 months ago, Pastor, before I came up here the last time. And he didn't tell me to share it. Just because God gives you a word doesn't mean you got to go blurt it out the minute He gives it to you. Sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes you got to wait for the time. I didn't know it was going to be 16 months, but this was the time. And it comes out of Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. God has placed a hedge around this church. And there's four main reasons why that hedge is not going to be penetrated. And it's not because of what you do in this church. It's because of what you do out of the church. The hedge is placed upon this church and the families of the church because, first of all, the majority of you have a desire and a willingness to live a blameless life. You need to go home and look up the word blameless and study it, because it'll keep this hedge around this church. You will not be able to be accused of wrongdoing by man or before God when you live blameless, which the majority of you are. You have been living upright. I have put a hedge around you because you have been living upright. Go look up the word upright. It's a straight, vertical life that's pleasing to God. He said, I've put this hedge upon this church because you've shunned evil. You've deliberately avoided evil. The hedge has been placed upon this church because you've been blameless, you've lived upright, you've shunned evil, and there's a fear of God in your life. Go study what that means, the fear of God. It's reverence. It's submission. It's a healthy fear that God has placed inside of you guys. The devil cannot touch you when you're blameless, upright, you shun evil, and you fear God. He can't touch your family when you live those four characteristics. I will continue to prosper this church. You continue to live a life pleasing to the Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for that word. I pray, Lord God, I would speak to your people that, Lord, you placed it in my heart 16 months ago, that that is why this church is flourishing, because of the desire to live those four ways, those four spiritual principles, that each and every one here would be reminded to live that way so this church will continue to be healthy and continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was your word. That was your word. I'm telling you, it's a powerful word. It's how you guys are living. You have a desire to live that way, and so that's why your church is healthy. That's why your church is flourishing, and it will continue while you continue. I want to preach on that whole message, but I have a different one. But that message is so powerful because Satan needed permission to touch Job, because he was living those four certain principles. Don't stop giving Satan so much glory for attacking your life. He can't if you're living those four principles. He needs permission from God. Satan was escorted to God by the angels to have permission to touch Job. He can't just touch you. He needs permission. Or it's up to the way you're living your life. You begin to live in sin, all of a sudden you're not living blameless, you're not living upright, you're not shunning evil, you're not fearing God. That hedge is opened up. Don't open the hedge of this church. Hello, we're all responsible for what happens here. Before you do something, think about how it's going to affect my church. You guys still love me? I love you. I'm trying to help you here. I have a word, and it comes out of Exodus. It's a combination. I had two sermons, and I combined them. And we're going to do it in half the time instead of double the time. Amen? Okay. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that way was shorter. God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Lord, your word is a lamp and it is a light. Help me help your people in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have the honor of overseeing a discipleship house called the Transformation Lighthouse. It's a discipleship home that we transition men out of prison into this home where I keep them accountable. And they have five early morning prayers a week. They have five services or Bible studies a work a week. They got to work. They got to pay their discipleship fees. Okay? And I keep them busy and they serve in transformation. They serve in the church. And God has placed our house in probably the most dark area of Maui. It's in the darkest, most well-known drug induced and homeless induced and violence induced neighborhood. God put us right there. Literally, our property touches our property. And we're called the Lighthouse. Amen. The cops showed up at our house because a couple guys got into a scrap. Yeah, a couple of our own guys got into it. And, we, you know, whatever. It happens. Boys will be boys, right? And so, anyways, the cops show up. They're like, what are you doing putting a Christian home right in the middle of the darkness? It's because we're the Lighthouse. It's not that. That's all. That's our answer. We're the light. Amen? And where this property sits, it's called the farm where they all do their drugs and their violence and their, and whatever they do down there. And there's a shortcut that cuts through the farm and it goes to town. It's a much quicker way to town to wherever you got to get to. And then there's the regular road that is the long way, which they have to go up and they have to go around. They have to go through Happy Valley and they have to come back around like this. And I told them, you guys are not allowed to cut through the farm. Well, what? Why? What do you mean? It's shorter. It's quicker. It's because, can you put that scripture back up? It's because I'm afraid if they face war, they might change their mind and go back to Egypt. They might go back to slavery. They aren't ready for the battle that they're going to face when they take the shortcut. They think, I just want to boss them around. Well, this howly boy, he like tell me what to do. Well, who's this? Well, that's Pigeon. I don't know if you understand. A white boy telling all these local boys, well, you just like boss me around, bro. What? No, bro, I'm afraid you're going to go back to Egypt because you're not ready for battle. I'm afraid you're going to fall back into slavery when that girl pops out of the bush. When that guy jumps out with the dope and you're not ready to face war. So God took them the long way around. Some of you were asking, why haven't you given me this and how haven't you given me that? Because God's preventing you from going back to slavery. He's in the business of prevention. He sees things that you don't see. He is many steps ahead of you. I do not want my men facing war when they're not prepared. Listen, I get a drive through there. They don't. Because you know, when I drive through there, they all know Pastor Rice over there. This is their response to Pastor Rice. They're either running because they know I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to encourage them, I'm going to love them, or they're running to me because they know I'm going to love them, encourage them, and pray for them. Thank you. I got one hand clap over there. Bless that. Bless. Thank you. Sometimes we're not ready for what we're praying for. Just because it's taking a little bit longer doesn't mean you're not going to get there. Okay, now watch. They, the boys at the lighthouse, now understand I'm preventing them from going back to Egypt. Going back to slavery, back to sin, back to our comfort zone, right? Anything happens and all of a sudden, I'm not going to that church anymore. I'm going back to slavery. Oh, I'm not, I'm going to look for a new wife. Oh, I'm going to go back to slavery. You know what? My job, that boss, the way he talked to me, I'm taking the shortcut. I'm not dealing with this. All of a sudden, you're going back to slavery. You're going back to sin. Sometimes you got to hang in there and you got to persevere through some things when you're taking the long way home. God has taken some of us a long way home. He took them through the desert. Why? Because there were some things that needed to be worked out in the desert. There's some things God wants to work out in your life. That's why he hasn't given you the shortcut. If you study the word wait in the Hebrew, you're going to find the word kawa. In Hawaii, we call it kawa. K-A-W-A. And it means to entwine. When you're waiting, there's a time of entwining with the Spirit. There's a time of strengthening when they take two ropes and they braid them together. That's what's happening in the desert. That's what's happening when you're waiting on your miracle. That's what's happening when you're waiting for your loved one to come home. That's what's happening when you're believing, but it's taking longer than you expected, because there's some things that need to be strengthened in your life. There's some things that God is working out in you. There's some things that are starting to surface in your life. In the month of March, the month of March, we did a series in Kihei, and it was called Who Are We? Who, capital R, we. And I did five or four R's in the Bible. I think it was refreshed, it was renewed, it was resurrected for Easter, and last week we did refined. And there's something so revelatory about being refined. And I think of the children of Israel in the desert, and there was a time when God was beginning to refine them. And if you look at Malachi chapter 3:3, I think they have it on the board. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in the righteousness. Listen, there's a process in the refining principle of spirituality that you have to understand. There's times that when God is refining us, he allows us to go through things and trials. And when we pass the test of the trial, we come out more pure. We come out more precious, more valuable, more precious than silver, more precious than gold. If you look at the avenue that God will take us through, there's times when he's trying to show us in this purification process, the time of waiting, the time in the desert, that there's things in our life that begin to surface. There's impurities inside of us in that refining process that you would never know unless you went the long way home. Unless you begin to get inside the fire. It says in order to be more Christ-like, there is a refining process we must endure. The heat is turned up in order for impurities to surface. We don't develop a Christ-like character all at once. All of a sudden we get saved and we're like, holy, we're ready for a priest, pastor, what, where do I, oh, I'm ready. But you know what, relax, go sweep the floor, bro, chill out. You're not Christ-like just the minute you accept Christ. Your Christ-like character is forged, as is silver and gold. It doesn't all happen the moment we get saved. I wish it did. We'd have a bunch of holy people running around here. And pastor would have a lot more help around here. Listen, I'm telling you, it takes some effort. And then all you guys got a great staff, a great team. You know, we don't develop that Christ-like character all at once. In Isaiah 48:10, come on now, watch this. See, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I've tested you in your suffering. You're going through stuff because God's allowing you to be purified. You're blaming the devil. It's actually God. You're taking the glory from God and you're giving it to the devil. Are you insane? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. This is my favorite. I wake up, my back, I'm like, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. My back, it feels great. Ah, I ain't giving the devil no credit. This is all God. Thank you, Lord. It's going to get better. I've realized I'm not going to grumble and complain and be like the Israelites and release a spirit of destruction upon my life. I'm not giving any glory to the enemy. For when God is allowing me to be refined through affliction, expect affliction to come and see it as a part of God's refining process. Our spiritual growth comes through the fiery trial. Watch, if even we fail in the trial, another one will come so you can pass. Because you can't keep moving on if you keep failing the test. You gotta pass the test so you can get on to the next test. So, listen, some of you know the answer and you keep failing. You know the answer to the test and you keep failing the test. You're gonna keep taking the same test. Are you insane? Listen, how many of you when you're in school, okay, it's probably just me, but you had your cheat sheet. You had the answers to the test, but you're like, you know what? I'm not going to use it. I know the answers, but you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do the right thing. Sorry, Pastor Kirsten. I know your kids do not cheat. You guys better not cheat. But listen, you have the, it's like a cheat sheet. God's given you the answer, but yet you continue to fail the test. Please pass the test so you can get on to the next test because there's another test coming, okay? Don't stunt your spiritual growth. Expect affliction to come. When you fail in the trial, pick yourself up. You know what? I was the worst at it. And yeah, it was about 10 years of darkness after Pastor Daniel, the stories that he told, and it was 10 more years of backsliding and one foot in, one foot out, and being a big baby is really what it was. I failed the test, and I can't stop. I'm just going to keep failing, keep failing. Now get over yourself. Get up. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Don't do the same thing and move on. It's not that big of a deal. You're making a bigger deal out of it than anybody. That was me. I was guilty of it. Oh, poor me. Man up. Get up. A righteous falls seven times, but he arises. You have to arise and stop stepping into the same trap. Oh, I wonder what this would do, kick bang. I wonder what this would do, kick bang, next week. I wonder what will happen if I do this. Okay, you've done the same thing. You're insane. I keep saying that word, and I don't know why. But you're crazy to think you can keep stepping in the same trap and not get caught. Listen, I did another series. It was called God's Not Complicated. It's not. You heard your pastor. Listen, just do the next right thing. Hello. Don't try to figure out everything. You'll never figure it out. You'll be caught in that rabbit hole, he called it, trying to figure out a bunch of stuff that you're never going to even supposed to know. God will reveal it to you if he wants you to know it. Okay, the last. I got a couple minutes. I'm going to make this happen. The refiner in the biblical days took a giant rock, began to break it down. They didn't just grab a huge rock and start refining it. You need to be broke down. We need to be broken down first before we can begin to be refined. We're a little rough around the edges. Jeremiah 23:29, is my word not like fire, like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces? Then the refiner would put it in the heat. He would refine the heat as the impurities begin to surface. And the more and more the impurity would surface, they would soothe off the top, and then they would put it back inside the oven, and they would turn it up again, and then all of a sudden more and more impurities would surface, and more, it doesn't happen one time. Refining is an ongoing process in your walk with the Lord. Impurities will continue to arise. I remember I thought, if I could just stay sober, I would be the best Christian ever. And then all of a sudden I realized I got anger. I got greed, I got selfishness, I got all this, and it just keeps going. Every day, God refines me, turns it up a little bit. Oh, I didn't know I had that. Another impurity surfaces. I remember when Dr. Morocco stood on the pulpit, he said, the minute I become unteachable, you all are in trouble. He understands he's still being refined. And it keeps getting hotter. That's why there's different levels of gold. Some are more pure than others. Some are more valuable than others. What is your value? So you got the brokenness. You got the purification. You got the brokenness, the heat, the purification. This is my favorite. I got 40 seconds. This touched my heart. The final process in refining is reflection. It says, once all the impurities have been removed, the refiner will then see a clear reflection of himself in that gold, in that silver. What does your reflection look like when you look into that pot of gold? When you look into your heart, is there a reflection of Jesus? And then we sin, we fall away, and all of a sudden that reflection is dull, more dull, more dull. But then the more and more that we're refined, the clearer that reflection of Jesus in our life becomes. Allow God to refine you. You know, the very last scripture in this text, Exodus 17, 18. Watch what happens. Did I give you guys that? Exodus, it's important. 13, 18, I'm sorry. Exodus 13, 18. This is the very next scripture, okay, after the one we just read. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt and were ready for battle. One minute they weren't ready, and the next verse they were ready. Why? Because they took the long way home. Some of you aren't quite ready for what you're asking for. And it's okay. Don't stop asking. But be okay with the result of your prayer. Listen, an answer to prayer sometimes is no. I don't know if you heard that. My dad told me that. It touched my life. I'm like, oh, I got a lot of those. He is speaking to me. He's going to give you what you desire in the perfect time. Place your hand on your heart. Lord, I pray right now over this congregation. What an honor it is to be a part of what you're doing. Not just through the prison ministry. I love it. I'm so blessed. Being a part of what you're doing through Kings. Through the prison, through transformation, through King's Chapel, Kihei. Thank you for using me. Thank you for using this team of people to minister to me. Thank you for each person in this congregation right now. I pray, Lord God, as they go through that refining process, they would be reminded it's a time of purification. There's some things in our lives that you want us to see so we can be more valuable to your kingdom. Lord, I'm in awe of what you've done through Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen. I knew them before they were pastors. To watch from afar and be encouraged. You have truly given me a mentor that leads by example. Bless them, Lord God. Prosper them, protect them, provide for them. Thank you for all that you've done here tonight. I pray, Lord God, the word would bear fruit. They would take what they heard and apply it to their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.